This podcast is brought to you by Knowledge at Wharton. For more information, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.
From the campus of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, this is Knowledge at Wharton on Business Radio. Here's your host, Dan Loney.
The concerns over college education take a variety of forms. Financial may be the biggest of the bunch, but just as important is making sure that students are prepared to join the workforce right off in an area that they like, but more importantly, can succeed in and make a good living. Catherine Bergeron is president of Connecticut College, which is trying to take a different tact on the problem. She has led the push for a new curriculum at the school called Connections, which was implemented this year, and she joins us in the studio to discuss what they're doing. Nice to meet you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I guess for the people that are listening, give the backstory as to why you thought this program was important and how you needed to implement it.
Well, a liberal education is a very important aspect of American culture. It has it's a kind of unique product of the American intellect. And one of the great things about a liberal education is the way that it allows students to explore the different ways of being and knowing and doing in the world. And there have been different ways of doing that since the 18th century.
Right.
And the typical way of doing it in the 20th century involved taking a student and preparing them to think broadly by giving them a long list of things they needed to know,
right,
and then allowing them to go probe more deeply by focusing on a particular discipline. That has been the model for 100 years. And that model gets at almost all of what we need to do, but it was not always connected to the world.
Right.
And so when you think about, does that model make sense anymore in our global and networked 21st century? And the answer our faculty said was no, essentially it doesn't. What you need to do is to figure out a structure that allows students to connect that broad knowledge, that more focused learning, with other ways of knowing and being in the world, with the world of work, with their communities, with jobs, and do that in an integrated way over 4 years. And that is, in fact, I think, the kernel of a new kind of 21st century interconnected learning, which is what we're trying to do.
So explain what the Connections program is and how it plays out in the course of a student's time there at your school.
Yeah. So the students come in and they are prepared to think about what their four-year journey is going to be in a new kind of first-year experience in their first semester, in their second semester. And they're paired with a group of advisors, a team of advisors, actually. An advisor who's an academic and an advisor who's a staff member and an advisor who's a student, who help the entering students to think about their trajectory from a professional and from a social and from an academic perspective. In the sophomore year, this is where things sort of heat up. And, you know, many schools in the traditional model think of the sophomore year as things kind of slow down or slump, as people say.
Yeah.
Now, we're saying, no, this is the place where, now that you've kind of got your sea legs, talk about what really matters to you.
Right.
What's your question? What is it that you've ever really worried about? What actually matters to you in life? And frame the rest of what you're going to do with that in mind. And so with that question, they really make two choices. Yes, they choose their academic major that they'll focus on in the last 2 years. But they do something more important, and they choose what we're calling an integrative pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And the integrative pathway is a set of courses, multidisciplinary courses, but also other experiences that students will explore their question over the next 3 years. And these pathways are organized according to common themes. So there could be a pathway in public health. There's a pathway in entrepreneurship. There's a pathway in global capitalism. There's a pathway in peace and conflict. Right. They're being developed. There'll probably be about 15 or 20 of these before we're finished.
So the hope is, to a degree, is to, and it's been a story that has played out in the media over the last few years, is that there are too many kids coming out of college that have a massive debt that they're dealing with, and realistically, the major that they were involved in didn't prepare them enough for what they kind of wanted to do, that passion that they had burning inside of them. Your idea here is to try and eliminate that to a degree and have that passion, which they've had already, really start to play out from day one when they enter college.
That's right. And also play out over multiple different aspects and areas of the curriculum, because right. that's really what a liberal education is about. It's about the connections that happen between the different ways of seeing things.
Right.
That's what the world needs. People who are able to look at problems from multiple perspectives. And our problems, the problems that we face as a society, are vastly complex. So you could say that really what an academic major does, we're not eliminating that, right?
Right.
What an academic major does is it gives people the opportunity to really think about how someone thinks from this kind of disciplinary perspective, from that. I mean, there's a big difference between being a sociologist and being an historian,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so coming to an appreciation of how a historian thinks, how a sociologist thinks about evidence and data, they're both very different. So that's very important, but it doesn't solve the problem of helping students to connect that way of thinking with many, many others. So one of the things we try to do is in the junior year is to expand that question even further uh-huh. with work in the world, work in the local community, work abroad, research projects, yeah. and other kinds of and internships. At Connecticut College is one of a handful of schools that offers every student the opportunity of a fully paid internship experience
oh, wow.
in their 4 years. And then you come back after that having tested and worked on some of these ideas from a completely different vantage point, mm-hmm. and in the senior year, put the whole four-year package together in an integrative project. So that's the package.
It's interesting you say that because, a lot of people say that, internships have been around mm-hmm. the college experience for a long time. But sometimes when somebody goes and does an internship, it ends up being in the summer where they're there for, 6 weeks, mm-hmm. whatever the short time period is, and you can't get a feeling for what actually occurs in a company or what actually is kind of the business structure. So to do this over a semester, it makes it you get a little bit more of a feel to do that, correct?
Our students may still be doing internships in the summer, but the issue,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
is how is it connecting back to the larger exploration that you have started in on. I think the problem with many internship experiences is that students think of it a little bit like the smorgasbord of the general curriculum.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to test that. I'm going to taste that over
right.
here. I'm going to find out if I like it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's more than finding out what you like. It's actually testing some of the assumptions, the ideas that you have gathered from one kind of study and learn and applying it and dealing with it in another kind of environment. And that crosstalk really makes ideas more meaningful.
I'd be interested to get your opinion on something. We've talked about it on the show a couple of times, is that it feels like students, obviously, when you're in college, you have a level of pressure that you deal with no matter what.
Right.
But it does feel like that level of pressure has maybe even amped up a little bit in the mm-hmm. in the last decade or so, to the point where it's harder for a student to go into college and not have, you can't be that selective, like, oh, I'm going to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's harder to do that because of what is potentially lying ahead mm-hmm. in the business world for whatever path you choose.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the kind of professionalization of high school is a different story.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I do feel for our students, this is the application season, and the kind of pressures that they feel, yeah. that their families feel at this time is something that we actually need to take very seriously. I think one of the things that one of the aspects of the pressure has to do with the pressure to choose. I often talk about the fact that people come into college and the first thing people ask them is, well, what do you want to major in?
Right.
And right. It's a silly question.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. I mean, if we were in Europe, the European system is totally based on the idea of choosing a professional path very early on.
Right.
The American system, the kind of glory of the American system is that that exploration continues between ages 18 and 22 or beyond,
right?
And I think that this is less about the anxiety of choosing than of really refocusing the students on things that matter, because in the end, that's actually when your education really begins to amount to something.
So then, as that curriculum plays out, what ends up being that senior year? What ends up being the pieces that the student will see and be involved in that last year in college as they get ready to head out?
Well, I can imagine an entire panoply of activities, right?
Right.
That one of the things that we're going to do is to have an all-campus symposium. So that students, will cancel classes for the day, and students will, in fact, present a project or some work that really reflects on what they've put together over 4 years. What I love about that is what it's going to do for first-year students. So can you imagine if you come in and you're in your first year seminar and you go to this symposium and you actually see, oh, well, this was this person's big question. I'll give you an example of a student who comes to mind. There was one of the first students that I met at Connecticut College. And I should say that the concept of this four-year integrative project was already present in the Connecticut College curriculum through these Centers for Interdisciplinary Scholarship that have been around for 20 or 30 years, in which students did more or less the same thing. They entered in their sophomore year. They thought about a project that they wanted to do. That got them into this selection to be in one of these centers.
Right.
And then they put together a set of courses over the course of the next couple of years. They did an internship and international work that connected to it, and then they do a senior integrative project. So this has been a model that has been very successful for us, and that's what we scaled up for the whole community. So this student that I met was in one of these centers. Turns out he was a very, very good cook. He loved cooking.
Right.
And he used to put on lavish parties for his friends. And he came to me in my very first open hours and said, I've got an idea. I'd like to cook for the senior class. And I said, well, that's a great idea because I need to get to know members of the senior class. I started as president in January of that year, and I was going to give these kids their diplomas, and I needed to know them. So I said, let's work on this together. As it turns out, he was a scholar in the Center for International Studies in the Liberal Arts. When he came in as a freshman, he connected with a mentor of his first year advisor, who was a Chinese historian, and she said this guy had only studied Latin in his high school, and she said to him, "You're going to study Chinese, and then then you're going to be able to take my classes." So he said, "Okay," and he took Chinese. And then he became a scholar in the Center for International Studies in the Liberal Arts. In his junior year, he went to Beijing. He got an internship at Time Out at Beijing. And then his senior year, he did a senior thesis on the beer and wine industry in China. And the week after graduation, he went back and he's the food and wine editor of Time Out Beijing.
Wow.
So that is a kind of putting together all of the things you're interested
in
and the things you didn't even know you were going to be interested in a kind of four-year program.
Part of this is obviously to spur that knowledge, that love. But how do you get, I mean, there are students out there that it's just harder to be able to to find that path. And as you said, it takes a little bit longer for some students. How do you reach them? I mean, I guess it's that network of people that a student would be involved in, whether that be a mentor or somebody on the staff, whatever it might be, that combination of people to maybe be able to bring that out of somebody.
Yeah, well, mentorship is very important. You know, the Gallup Purdue, I was thinking of your number of the day, 30,000.
Yeah.
Well, I have a 30,000 number for you. That's the number of people that were interviewed in a pretty interesting poll a couple of years ago done by Gallup in partnership with Purdue University.
Right.
And they were very interested in questions of thriving. How do people thrive in their lives? And what makes it possible for them to thrive in their future lives?
Right.
And they interviewed 30,000 college graduates from many different generations and asked them a set of questions about the kind of support they received, the kind of work that they'd done. So in the area of support, did you have a mentor who cared about you, who encouraged you to pursue your dreams? Mm-hmm. Did you have a faculty member who inspired you? Did you have someone in your life that made your education matter? On the other side, they were asking, did you do an internship? Did you have a leadership role in a student organization? Did you do independent research? Okay, those six things. Turns out, only 3% of the 30,000 people they interviewed had all six of those experiences. What I would say, and what they found, though, was having those experiences on either side made it possible for people to experience their life and engagement in their life by more than double. So people who had a mentor were more than twice as likely to feel like they were engaged in their work, in their communities, they were happy in life. So it didn't have as much to do with where you went to college. It had to do with the nature of the kinds of experiences. And that's actually how you find yourself, by actually doing signature work that matters. And, you know, everyone has that potential, and what we're trying to do is put together the structures so that every single Connecticut College student will be able to, as we say in our mission, put the liberal arts into action.
As you mentioned, I mean, it didn't seem like there was much issue that the teachers and the professors were behind this when this idea was brought forth. I mean, as you said, you talked to them specifically, and they agreed that this was something that was needed, correct?
No, let me get that clear.
Okay.
I actually arrived in the middle of a big wave of change.
Okay.
So it was a fantastic moment to become the president of Connecticut College.
Okay.
The faculty had been working on this for, I don't know, well over a year, and they had come to the realization, to that question. They had asked the question, does the way we're doing this make any sense anymore? And they'd come to the conclusion that no, it didn't, and they had to find the new way. So they started with principles, and then they created a framework, and over the course of the next 18 months, figured out what this whole package was going to look like.
Are there colleges or universities out there that do this in maybe their own version right now? Or is this an idea that is new to the point where we may be thinking about a redo on how we approach our learning in colleges over the next decade?
I think it's a little bit of both. There are some schools, I think, that have started to think about the four-year. It's a hard thing to do, though.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is that you've got to get your entire faculty to agree.
Yeah. And that's a hard thing to do.
It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And so I think it's actually a fantastic measure of the quality of our faculty at Connecticut College, that they took on this project and then took it on with a kind of zeal and creativity. So a very, very large number of people were involved in the recreation of the curriculum. But to your other point, I do think it is a time for all institutions of higher education to start thinking anew about the ways that they the kind of opportunities they create for students to think differently about what they're doing in college. It's no longer right for us to to say, oh, at the end of your senior year, you start thinking about getting a job.
Right.
Or it's no longer right for us to say, you'll put it all together sometime. You know,
most give somebody a diploma and say, thanks. Have fun.
Yeah, you're gonna do great. It really is, I think, the time for us to start to break down some of the silos that have separated the best aspects of education from each other.
How much does that also play into the relationships that the students have with, you know, people that went to the school, their alumni, you know, in making those connections?
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned a student that goes over to Beijing, but I'm sure there are many others that you're able to connect with, people that went to school that may work on Wall Street or in the healthcare sector, you know, you name it, and kind of help them on that path they want to go.
I think that's right. And I think when you have a curricular structure that has openings for alumni, that it's not just something that's happening out of the career office, but that is connected to a larger four-year path, then you actually engage alumni in ways that are very, very important to them as well. I can really imagine this senior symposium as having a wonderful opportunity for alumni to come back and even interact with students and ask them those kinds of questions from their side of things, you know, how the project that a student has engaged in really matters from their perspective.
How much also in this process does the culture around the campus and what students have available to them at the campus itself, the library, you name it. I mean, there's a variety of different. How important of a piece is that in this whole process?
The kinds of facilities that are available?
Well, and like, I mean, I read one story that talked about the changes that have been made to the library at that school and just the atmosphere around. I mean, we want our colleges to be great places of learning and people can feel safe. And obviously there have been stories written and incidents we have seen of issues on college campuses these days where kids don't feel as safe. Right here, unfortunately, at the University of Pennsylvania with what happened with the student at the University of Oklahoma. I mean, the culture is a very important piece to the college experience these days.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the main things that you're trying to develop in students in this kind of American idea of a truly liberal education is also personal, social, ethical development. So it's you can't just say that it's about the intellectual and the professional coming together. There's a very, very important part of collaboration and coming to understand other people and where they come from. That's an essential part of learning in the 21st century. It's an essential part of success in the future workforce. It's an essential part of success on campus. So yes, we need to have those structures, and we are working on those. As far as the library goes, I think it's interesting that you mentioned this. We did have a fantastic new renovation of a mid-century building, a kind of your typical brutalist mid-century library. They appeared all over campuses in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And this one, you know, took that building and really did something to it to make it into a new kind of space.
Right.
And one of the great things about it is that when you go into that library, you feel like you're actually in... You could be in Google, you could be at AOL. There's an arrangement of the tables and of collaborative working spaces that really, I think, mimics the modern working place, allowing for lots more collaborative learning. And I think that is important.
How much does the digital nature of what we all are dealing with these days benefit this type of a program and pushing it forward, because you have more connectivity than we've ever had before?
No, you're right. That's one of the aspects of the new library, is a fantastic new visualization wall that allows for, you know, from app development to work across the globe.
Yeah.
And I do think that there are enormous opportunities to extend what it is that we're doing on our small campus in New London, Connecticut, by using technology in new ways. So part of our new curriculum is a commitment to students' local and global engagement. And that may mean that students will continue to study abroad or do internships abroad, as 50% of them do. But it also may mean that we have increased exchanges and kind of faculty exchanges and courses that are bringing in other voices and perspectives, as some of our faculty have already started to do in very low-tech ways, you know.
Well, what do you see as kind of being this program? And obviously, we're talking with Catherine Bergeron, who's the president of Connecticut College, and this is still in its infancy. What do you hope? Not even what do you see? What do you hope for this type of approach to college in a decade?
In a decade. Well, I think that what we're going to see are many more people. What I hope for and what we are looking to create are students who are ready to hit the ground running when they graduate. Yeah. Students who are able to articulate the reasons why they have worked on the things that they've worked on. Students who come out of college with projects that actually make sense to future employers. Yeah. Students who are more employable because they have actually thought about all the different ways of being in the world while they are in college. So I would love to see that concept of the college bubble burst just a little bit.
For more business news and analysis from Knowledge at Wharton, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.